Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know. I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad that you guys have decided to hang out with us today. We've got a lot going on, and we're going to get right to it. Over the weekend, a couple of big events happened. First of all, in Iowa, Tucker Carlson holding this Q&A session, sort of a coffee klatch, if you will, with the Republicans running for the White House. And there was a lot of hullabaloo about whether or not Donald Trump should have appeared. Now, look, this was not a debate. This was an opportunity, a one-on-one conversation that Tucker had with a lot of the candidates. And what was really striking about this is the number of candidates who basically killed themselves during this confab. It was really brutal. Asa Hutchinson, the guy, nobody knew who the guy was. I'm not even sure Asa Hutchinson knows who he is. Anyway, he's gone. He's out of there. There's no way. He showed up at TPUSA Action in Florida, and he was nearly booed off the stage. Never seen anything quite like it. But Mike Pence, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Pence, and there's a lot to unpack between Mike Pence and Tucker Carlson. Clearly, there's a lot of bad blood there, and I'm not quite sure why. Tucker Carlson pretty much gutted Mike Pence like a rainbow trout. I've never seen anything like it. It was unbelievable. Now, I will say this. Tucker was pretty easygoing when it came to Ron DeSantis. I thought there were pretty much softball questions. There was not a lot of confrontational questions like there were in the Pence interview. And I have a couple of thoughts as to why. I'll get to those in just a little bit. But it's Mike Pence, though, that I want to talk about. And here's the reason why. First of all, Mike Pence is irrelevant. He's not going to be president, not going to be vice president, not going to get a slot in the Trump administration. His time is over. So Mike Pence is really positioning himself to be a leader in the religious liberty world. And whether or not that means, by the way, as a brief aside, sources told me early on that Mike Pence was actually considered at one point to be the president of a very large, influential Christian university that's located in Virginia. But he's clearly jockeying for some sort of a role to be a power player in the religious liberty movement. And so anyway, there was a lot of back and forth between Tucker and Mike Pence on the issue of religious liberty in Ukraine. Now, we're going to play the longer version of this a little bit later on, but this is the part that really struck me. Cut number 12.
Along the way, the Biden administration has been slow in providing military support. Make no mistake about this. We promised them 33 Abrams tanks in January. I heard again 2 weeks ago in Ukraine, they still don't have them. We've been telling them we'll train their F-16 pilots, but now they're saying maybe January we'll let somebody transfer some jets.
I'm sorry, Mr. Vice President, have you, I know you're running for president. You are distressed that the Ukrainians don't have enough American tanks. Every city in the United States has become much worse over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Drive around. There's not one city that's gotten better in the United States. And it's visible. Our economy has degraded. The suicide rate has jumped. Public filth and disorder and crime have exponentially increased. And yet, your concern is that the Ukrainians, a country most people can't find on a map, who've received tens of billions of U.S. tax dollars, don't have enough tanks. I think it's a fair question to ask, like, where's the concern for the United States in that?
Well, it's not my concern. Tucker, I've heard that routine from you before, but that's not my concern. I'm running for president of the United States because I think this country's in a lot of trouble.
So this was not a mis. He was not misspoken here. He did not misspeak or misstate his case. Mike Pence believes that the greater issue is taking care of Ukraine first. And you heard a Ukraine first policy coming out of the mouth of the former vice president of these great United States. Now, the other issue involved religious liberty. And Mike Pence was called out for his lack of support for religious liberty in Ukraine. And Pence fought back. And again, we're going to play a longer version of this later in the program. But Tucker Carlson was basically saying, why are you not defending religious liberty? Christians are being arrested. Ministers, bishops, priests are being thrown in jail by Volodymyr Zelensky, the man you just met in Ukraine. Did you call him out on any of this? And Mike Pence basically dove from the question, and he refused to engage the question. And Tucker Carlson seemed to be somewhat bewildered that Mike Pence would not defend religious liberty. However, ladies and gentlemen, had yours truly been there, and if only someone had called us, we could have given them the dossier we have on Mike Pence, and Tucker would have already known the answer to that question. Because you see, as governor of Indiana, Mike Pence would not even defend the religious liberty of the Christians in Indiana. Now, this is a story that does not get a lot of play. But back when President Trump was mulling around with running for the White House, Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana. And Mike Pence was the darling of the evangelical movement. And at that point, rightfully so, he had all of the bona fides. He went to church. He was a Christian. He came to know the Lord at a Christian rock concert, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, it came time to pass a religious freedom law in the state of Indiana. And Mike Pence initially endorsed it and signed it into law, and then all hell broke loose. Every gay, lesbian activist group, I mean, they declared war on Mike Pence. And so Mike Pence backtracked. This is the headline from the New York Daily News. Indiana Governor Mike Pence backtracks on religious freedom law, demands language be added to prohibit discrimination. And it was a big, nasty story. It was so bad that Mike Pence was probably going to lose re-election. Along comes Donald Trump, names him as the running mate, and there you go. His goose was saved. His goose was not cooked. So Mike Pence has a very checkered past when it comes to doing the right thing. And the problem with that is pretty clear to me. Mike Pence resembles the modern Republican politician. They'll promise you one thing, but when they get elected, they do the exact opposite. And that's the reason why Mike Pence, quite frankly, was a bad pick for Donald Trump from day one. But the only reason Pence was put on that ticket was to appease evangelical Christians. That's the only reason. And you should know that. But it's a great reminder of why Donald Trump is surging in the polls. It's a great reminder that Donald Trump is winning because Donald Trump delivered on what he promised the voters. By the way, this straw poll in Florida at the TPUSA event, Donald Trump, 87%. Ron DeSantis in his own state. I mean, they had the event in, what, West Palm Beach? And yet Ron DeSantis in his own state, ladies and gentlemen, could not even muster second place. He came in third. It was brutal. It was embarrassing. There's reporting out today that Ron DeSantis is having to lay off, having to fire campaign staffers because they are burning through money. They can't seem to get a leg up against Trump. As a matter of fact, they decided, you know what? Donald Trump had thousands of people turn out at the Dairy Queen in Iowa when he showed up, and he didn't know what a blizzard was. And so they were giving Donald Trump the what for because he didn't know what a blizzard was. So Team DeSantis said, we'll show them. We're going to go to the Dairy Queen. So Ron DeSantis, they all get inside the campaign Buick, and they drive down to the Dairy Queen. And folks, it was so sad. There was no one in the Dairy Queen. They turn on the video, and at some point somebody should have said, don't turn on the video. Don't film this. Don't document this. But somebody turned on a video camera, and they're filming Ron DeSantis and the empty Dairy Queen. And it's so bad, nobody's even paying attention to Ron DeSantis. He's giving a campaign conversation or a speech in the lobby of the Dairy Queen, and the poor lady at the drive-thru is like, do it. She's not even paying attention. She's working the customers on the drive-thru. It's just not working for DeSantis. Now, I have a question for you. Steve Bannon made a pronouncement at TPUSA. I want to play this for you. I want to hear your take on this. Because Bannon says we are in the middle of a holy war against the deep state. And he says it's time for everybody to stop. It's time for the distractions to end. Everybody rally around Trump. Let's ballot harvest out the wazoo and let's defeat the Democrats. Cut number 14.
We don't have time for a diversion. We need to be focused right now on the election apparatuses in Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, and to get behind Donald Trump and get serious about taking this country back. This is a crusade. This is a holy war against the deep state. Donald Trump is our instrument for retribution. I don't want to hear Glenn Youngkin in a vest. I don't want to hear Kemp with his Georgia accent. I don't want to hear it. Donald Trump is our instrument for righteous indignation.
All right. Do you agree with Steve Bannon there? By the way, talking about Youngkin and Brian Kemp, yeah, they're being talked about as replacements for DeSantis. So DeSantis continues to go down in flames. You're going to see people rallying around Glenn Youngkin and Brian Kemp. And my money would be on Brian Kemp since he's in the middle of his second term in office. But do you believe this is really a holy war against the deep state? And do you believe Donald Trump is the man? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number today. That's 844-747-8868. I want to welcome all of our new listeners. And by the way, folks, if you haven't done so, head over to our website, bookmark toddstearns.com. Great stories, original content for you to see and read there. And you can also download our free podcast so you can listen to our program wherever you are around America. We'll be right back, folks. Hey, everybody. I've got to tell you about how much I love Calitrin. First of all, I'm losing weight, and get this, 86% success rate with weight loss if you take Calitrin like I'm doing. And another great part of this is I'm sleeping a whole lot better at night thanks to Calitrin. Let's go check it with my good friend Elizabeth.
Well, that's one of the first things that customers tell us all the time, because Calitrin, because it's good for you, you have side benefits, no side effects. The side benefits include better sleep, less joint pain, more natural energy, even less bloating. So if you're ready to lose the weight, you want a product that's proven safe and effective and has these side benefits, check it out for yourself on our website, toploss.com. Has all of the information. It's got all the side benefits on there and the science behind how it works. Again, it's at toploss.com. That's TOPLOSS.com, or call us 1-833-TOPLOSS.
All right. And Elizabeth, be sure to use that promo code Todd. A lot of folks have asked me, me when we're out on the road. Todd, how can I listen to the show if my local radio station doesn't care? Well, first of all, call your local radio station and tell them that you want them to carry the Todd Starnes Show. But in the meantime, our flagship radio station, KWAM Radio, they have an awesome app. It's free of charge, and you can actually listen to 24 hours of the best conservative talk radio in America on the KWAM app. So go to kwamradio.com and look at the top of the page. Click on the app, and you'll be good to go. All right, let's go to the phones here this morning. Let's start in the beautiful state of Georgia. June, thank you for listening to WDUN. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I want you to tell me why I should vote for Kemp, Brian Kemp, for anything.
Well, June, I'm picking up a little maybe that you're not a big Kemp fan. Am I? Would I be accurate in that?
Yes.
So I'm curious why, because the establishment is talking him up now as being the next version of Ron DeSantis.
Okay, well, he's a globalist, you know, and I understand that everybody's trying to get global. But I saw him sitting on the stage at George Soros' World Economic Forum. And you know what George Soros does, how he operates. So tell me why, what he was doing there. Well, I know what he was doing there. He was trying to drum up some business for Georgia around the world to come to Georgia.
June, I'm not a big Kemp fan. I know a lot of folks there certainly love him. I mean, he won re-election in a landslide. But, you know, I had some issues with the way he conducted himself during the presidential election. That's neither here nor there. They're looking at the establishment wing is desperate right now because they thought that DeSantis was going to be their guy. And honestly, DeSantis surrounded himself with the Bushes, with a lot of the party elders, the Cheneys, and that's one of the reasons why his campaign faltered. He was one with the establishment and not one with the base.
Well, what happened? I mean, he was more like Trump, I think, to start with, wasn't he?
That's true, and there are arguments that can be made that he still is in many aspects, but the globalism that's a big issue. That is a concern. And the question is, is Brian Kemp one of these guys that delivers on the campaign promises, or is he more aligned and in tune with the Chamber of Commerce and the establishment wing of the party? And right now, clearly in your mind, that question has yet to be answered. June, appreciate that call. Let's go to William in North Carolina. Thank you for listening to WSIC. William, what's on your mind?
Todd, thank you for letting me be on your porch this Monday.
Yes, sir.
Mike Pence, you raised a good point. I forgot all about that messy situation he was in, and Donald Trump saved the day for him. And to bring to that point, you brought it to point to me, we're probably all falling victim to the chaos and everything that's created by certain parties and certain people. And what it means at the end of the day is we really need to stay focused and do our research on candidates and make our decisions upon that research instead of just, you know, like a knee-jerk decision make, you know, like we're all guilty of doing sometimes, you know, impulse buying at stores, whatnot, you know, just using that analogy. But, yeah, the biggest thing there, Todd, is we just need to stay focused, and we really need to concentrate on the big issues at hand here, and you know, all this bull crap that's going on with the woke movement and stuff like that. It's not going to go away, but we need to kick it to the side and concentrate on the real thing here.
Yeah, William, it's so true, and you're right. We do have to do our due diligence, and you know, one of the challenges with Trump early on, nobody knew who he was. I mean, we knew he palled around with Hillary Clinton, and by the way, he says he and Hillary are now best friends again. I don't know what that's all about. But going back to the original campaign, a lot of people had to put their trust in Trump. And we could have gotten burned, but I'm happy to say that we did not get burned. I don't think the same could be said if Mike Pence gets elected president. I think he would disappoint a lot of evangelicals. William, got to run. We're coming up against a break here, and thank you for listening to us. 844-747-8868. So what do you think the other candidates ought to do here? Should everybody stay in this thing until the primary? Or, as Steve Bannon said, look, we've got a bigger issue here, and we've got to focus on that and not be distracted. 844-747-8868. By the way, our website again, toddstarns.com. We got a lot more coming your way. Stick around, everybody.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS. And use the promo code STARNS or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNS.
So Charles Barkley, going after all you folks that are protesting Bud Light, says all you people out there protesting Bud Light are rednecks and buttholes. Had to clean that up a little bit for family-friendly radio. Mr. Barkley speaking out on TikTok. He was at Lake Tahoe for he was up there for the big golf tournament. And by the way, Stephon Curry. Wow, good for you, sir. Getting the hole-in-one. Did you see that? Wow. Not too shabby, Anyway, Barkley says he was at a bar. He bought a round of drinks for the crowd. He says, so I'm going to buy some drinks for y'all, and I'm going to buy Bud Light. And then he goes on to say, let me tell you something. All you rednecks or blank holes who don't want to drink Bud Light, blank y'all. Hey, y'all can't cancel me. And then people were booing and some people cheered in the crowd. He goes on to say, I ain't worried about getting canceled because let me tell you something. If y'all fire me and give me all that money, I'm going to be playing golf every blanking day. What's with the language, Charles? Seems a little, I don't know, triggered. He says, So listen, as I said last night, if you're gay, God bless you. If you're trans, God bless you. And if you have a problem with them, blank you. Oh, my. Anyway, Charles Barkley, friend of the trans man. There you go. Are you still boycotting? I look, good for you if you are. My understanding is that Costco says they're getting ready to no longer sell Budweiser in their stores. By the way, what is the, you know, I went out and got a Costco card, and I've been a couple of times, and I haven't been back. I think Costco for the single individual is not a good idea, right? I mean, there's only so much room in the house for, you know, a 72-pack of Charmin toilet paper. So, I don't use that much toilet paper, Dylan. I'm just telling you, they come in giant bulk sizes. I did get some Flintstones vitamins, the little gummy bear thing, gummy bear Flintstones. It was like a 2-gallon bucket of that. It's pretty impressive. I just haven't figured all of that out yet. Anyway, all right, moving on, and so long, Mr. Barkley. By the way, did you go to the TPUSA event? I heard tickets for that thing were like $800. $800. And a lot of people are enraged because there was some sort of they oversold the event and hundreds of people were not able to get in to participate in the actual event. And they want their money back. And I say good for them. They probably do need to get their money back. The videos, people are very upset, and I guess I would be too if I had spent that much money and I'm not getting in to see, you know, Donald Trump or whatever. That's very weird. Anyway, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Just to put a button or a bow on this Ron DeSantis story. Over the weekend, DeSantis was invited to give the keynote address at the Tennessee Republican Party Statesman's Dinner. This was like the annual big fundraiser, $300 a ticket, high-dollar meal in Nashville at the convention center. And it was interesting because early on, they were not announcing who the keynote speaker was. They were keeping it under wraps. So anyway, I did a little bit of digging, and I was going to buy a ticket until I found, actually, I was going to get a full table, and until I figured out who the keynote speaker was, then I said, you know what, I'm not spending my money on that. And the reason is very clear. If Ron DeSantis will not come on this radio program and take the questions from you, the good listeners, for free, why would I be willing to pay money? That makes no sense whatsoever. So anyway, I stayed home and had a lovely time and a good meal, too. Nobody wants to pay $300 for a rubber chicken. But anyway, what was interesting about all of this is that the governor of Tennessee, a Republican, Bill Lee, was a no-show. He did not show up at the most important Republican gathering in the state. You want to know who else was a no-show? U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn, no-show, and U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty. Again, no-shows. And that tells you a lot about what's happening in these state houses all over America, where Hagerty and Blackburn have already endorsed Donald Trump. To my knowledge, the only state house that has the Republicans have simply endorsed is Michigan. Everybody in the Michigan state house has endorsed Donald Trump. I would love to see other Republican majority state houses do the same thing. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Rich is listening to us in Jackson, Tennessee on Super Talk Tennessee. Hi, Rich. What's going on?
Yes, sir. I promised to be brief, and dadgummit. I told your guy, though, that Memphis is now number one worst driver consumer affairs, and that puts Jackson in number two. Anybody that goes Soros and the what is it? I know all this stuff. There's so many people, governors that went over there and they came back and they acted like, no, it's Donald Trump. And there is something to Steve Bannon, because I don't believe we have time to waste and all this waiting another year and a half, whatever. It's time to separate the wheat from the chaff. Trump is the only one that has fulfilled his promises. Not a nice guy. We don't need a nice guy. Ron DeSantis, poor guy, he needs to stay governor. Just his picture, his main picture, you see, he doesn't even look the part. Pence and that wife of his look like baggage left at an airport. I know all the history, and you reminded me some.
Rich, it's really important, Rich, to remember our history and to remember what these people have or have not done. And I'm happy to call them out on this program. I want to go back, though, because Trump actually said something over the weekend at a speech in Florida. And he said this was it. This was the most important election of our lifetime coming up. And if we don't get this right, now think about this. You've got Clarence Thomas, you've got Sam Alito, a couple of the other Republicans that are up on the Supreme Court. They are getting on up there in age. And if we elect a Democrat in 2024, there's a good chance that you're going to have liberals appointed to the Supreme Court. So Trump may very well have a point here.
What is the word for our country? Exceptional. We are the only country in the world that can pull another rabbit out of a hat, but there are no more rabbits. There's no time to peddle around. And I'll put all of my words in one word, and I mean it. If we could ever get to the point where some of these traitors could face a Nuremberg-type trial in America, what people like me want to see is some Hunter Bidens and a whole bunch more staring out behind bars in a real jail. It'll do them good. It'll do them good.
Well, I think what you're getting around to is the double standard here when it comes to the judicial system. And we've certainly seen that play out. The idea, they really want you to believe that there were no cameras in the White House, that they have no idea whose cocaine that was. I mean, that's ridiculous. We all know whose cocaine it was. So they just don't want to prosecute anybody for it. Rich, we got a skedaddle. Appreciate the call. And thank you for listening to us there on WTJS. All right, we do need to take a quick break here, folks. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're celebrating a big anniversary this month. It is the 20th anniversary of MyPillow. Can you believe that? This is really spectacular. And our good friend Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98. And get this, for just $10 more, they will upgrade you to a king-size pillow. Those are the kind I have. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including bed sheets, mattress toppers, even the pet beds, which little Merlot, Grace's Dalmatian, loves the pet beds. Of course, Merlot's a little bit bigger now. My slippers, you name it, they've got great discounts. So now is the right time to try out some incredible MyPillow merchandise. Here's what you need to do. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my last name as the promo code, and you're going to get this incredible offer on the queen-size MyPillows. Again, $19.98. You can call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. Be sure to use the promo code Starnes. The offer comes with that great 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Folks, it's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. So go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and use that promo code Starnes.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Go to the phones, North Carolina. Kelly, hanging out with us, wants to say something about Charles Barkley. All right, Kelly, what you got for us?
Hi, yes, I'm a first-time caller, new listener. I was just absolutely disgusted by the statements Charles Barkley made. I am the daughter of a military hero, vet, whatever you want to say. My dad served 32 years at Camp Lejeune in the Marine Corps. I am over these people who continue to want to push an agenda on good hardworking folks like myself and my husband and our family. I cannot believe that he could just get out there and call us rednecks and, as you put it, buttholes in a nicer way. I'm just floored. It's disgusting. These people are so detached from the American people and what they feel and think. And it just feels like we're not even allowed to have our own opinion.
You know, and Kelly, what's fascinating about all of this is, and I appreciate you keeping it family friendly, but these folks like Charles Barkley that are out there calling all of us, you know, the smelly Walmart people. That's what Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, called all of us Trump supporters. The smelly Walmart people, the basket of deplorables. You got Barkley with the rednecks and the orifices comment. The reality is they would not be where they are had it not been for the hard-earned money that we spend going to these basketball games and these other events.
Correct, 100%. Not to mention the double hypocrisy upon it, where they take all this kickback money and these endorsements from Chinese-based companies when the atrocities going on in China is abhorrent. And it's just sickening. And I'm just to the point now where it would just be nice if they just sit back, shut up, and let us live our lives and let us spend our money where we want to spend it. And for the record, I was a Bud Light drinker. I was a natural light drinker as well. And I switched. I went to Yingling. That's my little way of putting the pebble in the water. And it just sickens me that these people continue to want to force these and just disgusting ideas with the child mutilation and the confusing our children within the school systems. You know, it's very frustrating. It's just horrible all the way around.
Well, Kelly, you've done a terrific job as a first-time caller. Well done.
Thank you. Very much appreciate it.
Well, we hope that you give us a call back one of these days, and we appreciate you listening to the program. Here on this show, we honor those traditional American values that our founding fathers inscribed and enshrined in our founding documents. And we also support our military. And Kelly, we just want to say thank you for your family's military service. And we certainly respect that here on this program.
Thank you so much. And keep up the good work.
All right.
I'm telling you, you're making a difference.
Well, you're kind to say that, Kelly. Thank you. And yeah, look, there are a lot of these Charles Barkley types out there. And they didn't realize that one of these days, this whole cancel culture movement, they had no idea that one day the sleeping giant would wake up and they would fight back. And I'm telling you, there are more of us than there are of them. And we're beginning to see that with the Bud Light boycott. And I hope that Target, by the way, Disney, there are reports coming out of Disney World, Disneyland, of nearly empty amusement parks. And that tells me that many of you out there, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you have made the decision, you know what? We're not going to spend our money with Disney anymore. As much as we love the experience, we don't love the indoctrination. We don't like what Disney is doing to our kids. So I say good for you. Good for you, America. All right. 844-747-8868 is our number. Roger Stone weighing in on an issue that we first brought to you many, many months ago. He, too, now believes that Michelle Obama is going to be the Democrat nominee for president. Cut number 4.
Now, as a veteran of many years in American politics, I'm going to tell you something somewhat shocking. Joe Biden will not be the nominee of the Democratic Party in 2024. Kamala Harris will briefly become president, but the only way in their party they can replace a woman of color is with another woman of color. And yes, you heard it here first. The Democratic nominee for president will be Michelle Obama. They have already rigged their primaries. The reason that they have canceled the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary is to put South Carolina, a state where a majority of the Democratic primaries are primary voters, are African Americans, and they will allow Gavin Newsom to purchase the vice presidential nomination, but the Obamas will hold him up for $600 or $800 million to do so. You heard it here first. When Steve Bannon says it in 3 weeks, remember I said it first.
Well, actually, Roger Stone, yours truly said it here first many months ago. But we appreciate you bringing it to the table at TPUSA's event. I want you to think about something here for a moment, right? Look at what everybody on the Republican side is doing right now. They're hitting the campaign trail. They're running the ads. They're building their volunteer base, right? This is happening. It doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, or even Asa Hutchinson. You're out there hitting the campaign trail. What are the Democrats doing? They're not doing anything. Joe Biden does not even have a campaign apparatus right now. Have you noticed that? The Democrats, it's as one of two things is happening with the Democrats. Number one, they know that Joe is not going to run and it's going to be Michelle Obama. Or number two, they know that based on what happened in 2020, they don't need to campaign. They can lock Joe in the basement again, just like they did in 2020, and they're going to win because they figured out a way to steal the election again. One of two things here. Otherwise, does it really make any sense to you that the Democrats, are you not curious about that? Democrats are not out on the campaign trail. Why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? All right, we've got to take a break here. We're going to take your calls on that. 844-747-8868. That's our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. So Fox News is launching the big all-new primetime lineup tonight. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And it's a pretty interesting shuffle. Laura Ingraham moving to 7 o'clock. Jesse Waters is their answer to Tucker Carlson. And Fox News believes that Jesse Waters is going to be the new Tucker Carlson and will exceed the power and the influence that Tucker Carlson had, followed by Sean Hannity and then Greg Gutfeld. There has been a lot happening inside the building over the weekend at 1211 6th Avenue. I want to bring in the author of the soon-to-be-released book about Tucker Carlson called Tucker. Chadwick Moore is the author, and he joins us right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hey, Chadwick, how's it going?
Hey, Todd, it's going well. Great to be back with you.
Well, likewise. I wanted to get your take on Tucker's performance on Friday. It looked like he was just having a good time.
It really did. I think that sort of solidified more than anything that event at the Iowa summit with some of the Republican primary candidates, that he's really become the conscience of the Republican Party, you know, not necessarily of Republican voters or conservatives, but of the party itself and keeping them to task and really asking them the questions that all the voters are concerned with, not necessarily what they want to talk about, but what, you know, the answers that we want and things that we want their opinion on. And really putting them on the record for that. I think that Carlson's departure from Fox, or his cancellation from Fox, also really, that was sort of the defining moment of the rise of independent media and the slow death of mainstream media. And that event also spoke to, you know, it was sponsored by The Blaze, and The Blaze did a wonderful job, and I think far better than Fox could have done or any cable news channel with their commentary and their presentation. It was so professional and entertaining. It was quite an event to behold, I thought.
I thought it was remarkable that Fox just completely ignored it. There was no mention of it. The Five was going on, and they were talking about something inane. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson was not only breaking news, he was physically dismantling the presidential campaigns of Asa Hutchinson and Mike Pence.
Yeah. And Fox is just sitting there pretending that none of it is happening, and really, and they couldn't cover it. They're forbidden from covering it because, as people have told me at Fox, since his show was taken off the air, you know, the memo went out that they are banned from using the T word Tucker on air. Nobody could mention him or even acknowledge that he exists or once worked there and was once, keeping their entire network afloat.
It's just remarkable, and I know there are people there talking to you. And you had mentioned, or someone had mentioned over the weekend, that there have been layoffs happening at Fox.
Yeah, so someone, one of my sources in Fox, had said that there were massive company-wide layoffs that were happening on Friday. I didn't get a lot of names of who, but I did know that among those layoffs were the remaining people who were on Tucker's team. So, you know, for you know, a lot of your listeners who might not know, when you're hired by a network like Fox, you're hired to work for the network, not on a particular show or for a particular anchor. So, you know, the people who are working on Tucker's show, if your show gets taken off the air, usually you get moved around to another show, whatever. They continue to work at the network, the people who had been on his show. It was a very tight team. They've been with him for the entire 6 years that his show was on the air, over 6 years. And on Friday, the remaining people who were there, they all got the boot. They were all let go from the network. They were told they had to perform that last episode. And 9 o'clock, when the show was over, there was someone from HR waiting outside the control room to give them the frog march out of the studio, collect their devices, their badges, and thank you very much, goodbye. And this was the highest performing team of producers in cable news history. But because I guess they were stained with the association of working on the network's number one show, they were all unceremoniously fired.
And you know, Chadwick, when it comes to television, the producers really do make or break the show. I mean, as much as you have the talent there, it's the way the show is crafted and styled, and that's on the producers. And Tucker had some of the best in the building. And the fact that they were just given the heave-ho, that tells me that somebody is not thinking, they're not thinking with their brains.
Yeah, I don't think that, I think that's pretty undeniable at this point when it comes to Fox management and executives. I think that's a nice way to put it, that they're not thinking with their brains. But also, I mean, it just rings of anyone who thought that his cancellation was political, and I think that that also completely rings true. Fox doesn't really, you know, people rightfully so say, why would Fox do this? It's, you know, if they're a business, they want to make money, why would they do this? And I think that that way of thinking about many corporations these days is kind of outdated. It doesn't appear that Fox cares about the money. It's something deeply political happening here.
And I want to be polite in saying this, because I really like Jesse Watters, but he is not a Bill O'Reilly and he is not a Tucker Carlson. I mean, these are two guys who were thinkers. They wrote their own, you know, opening memo, you know, the memo. I think O'Reilly used to write his coming in from Long Island every day. So they were writing their own stuff. Do you think Jesse's going to have the chops to be that next Tucker Carlson?
Yeah, you're right about both Tucker and O'Reilly. You know, the thinkers writing their own material. I shadowed Tucker for a long time working on this book. I saw him working on his monologues, etc. I think that the big losers in this shakeup are Jesse Watters himself and Greg Gutfeld. And the reason I think Jesse is kind of a loser here, and I like Jesse too. I've been on his show before, he, you know, I don't think that more people are going to be tuning in to see Jesse Watters at 8 than they were at 7. And in fact, there might be people who are protesting the 8 o'clock hour. Maybe people were still watching Jesse, but they would say, I'm not going to do 8. That's Tucker's time slot. I'm standing my ground on that. Well, now you're asking people to come into the beloved Tucker Carlson's time slot to watch Jesse. I think that people are going to have a reaction to that, a negative one. With Greg Gutfeld, and one reason that he might be a loser in this is that he's now primetime. He's no longer late night. So he can't call himself the king of late night anymore. And that was such a big promotional apparatus of his show. You know, maybe more people would tune in now because it's earlier. But, you know, I really don't know.
And I'm not sure that's the right audience at that hour. You know, they did that years ago when I was at Fox, the radio division. They were running Alan Colmes. You know, they produced Alan Colmes' radio show. Of course, the late Alan Colmes was a leftist, but he was a liberal. I take that back. He was a liberal, and he was a lot of fun. And his show was late night. And for whatever reason, Chadwick, in radio, liberal radio works better at night after hours. And they moved him up into a prime time slot, and the show just fell apart. And I think you're right about Gutfeld. That is a truly late night show, and I'm not sure why they would upset that apple cart. They were kicking butt at that time slot.
Yeah, and the whole, you know, kind of editorial approach of Gutfeld's show was, you know, you've got Kat Timpf on every night. It's very libertarian. It's very, you know, it does have that late night fervor, and that more, I guess, maybe more liberal minded, not leftist take on social issues and things of that nature, which perhaps does perform better at late night. And it's a good point that, you know, it's 10 o'clock the right hour for him to be there, or the 10 o'clock watcher is going to tune in for that and connect to it, more importantly. And I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
Chadwick Moore on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, folks. His book on Tucker Carlson coming out, August 1st is what they have on Amazon. Chadwick, I'm curious. They've got the new slogan. If you go to the Fox News website, the big flashy pop-up, and they're changing the slogan from standing up for what's right to the right voices at the right time. Well, what's your take on that?
So that's their new slogan for primetime with this lineup. The right voices at the right time, which my take is, firstly, is that a dig at Tucker Carlson? It seems like one. Was he not the right voice? And despite what the numbers said and despite what the audience and the American people clearly want, as evidence, you can measure it by the people who tuned in and the people who are now following him away from Fox. But also, it's just, once again, another example of too many to count of Fox stepping in it and being completely stupid in how they're approaching things. Because that, with everything they've been going through, that new slogan seems to me, they're saying, we know what's right, you don't. Shut up and listen, peon. These are the people you need to be talking to. These are the right voices. Not that Tucker person who doesn't exist anymore, but it's Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters. It's, you know, the controlled empty suits, some might say, for some of them. And Fox is letting you know, we're right, you're wrong, shut up, this is who matters. It's a really, really insulting new slogan for the network to be deploying.
What is the mood in the Fox building right now, and what are you hearing about management? Who's calling the shots nowadays?
Meade Cooper, who's the an executive in charge of primetime, is the name that people keep telling me. She's the one who fired Tucker's team. I've never, even before this happened, even before Tucker was taken off the air, when I was working on this book, no one had anything nice to say about Meade Cooper. They think that she was completely detached from programming. While they're doing blockbuster ratings, she would take all the credit, but really had nothing to do with it. Some people think that, you know, after Roger Ailes departed, there was this push to hire a bunch of women to, you know, make the network look more woman friendly. And probably some of them were very talented and deserved it. Maybe some didn't. But it was just a push to get more women in leadership roles. I've heard people say that. The mood right now inside Fox, from what people are telling me, and I still have some people who work there. You know, my sources weren't people who worked on Tucker's show who got laid off. To be truthful, it's other people there. And they said the mood the morale is really, really low. They said that there's this sort of bipolar, schizophrenic treatment of the do not book list. Fox has a list called the do not book list, people who are banned from the network. I'm now on that list. Several people are on that list who defend Tucker. And, you know, they said that they're getting different directives that make no sense and conflict about who they're allowed to book and who they're not allowed to book. There was a producer for Fox and Friends who was fired last month. I was told she was fired because she put on Senator Tuberville, who was on the do not book list because he attacked the Murdochs after Tucker was taken off the air. And they said that she was fired a couple days after he was booked, that he was on this list. This is what people inside Fox are telling me. I haven't seen any documentation of it. But the morale is very low. No one's having a good time there right now.
Wow. It's sad. I mean, it really is sad. But I think we could all see where this was heading. And, you know, the final question I have, and folks, you got to read Chadwick's book, pre-order it, get yourself an advanced copy of this. But where does Tucker go from here? Is Twitter where he's going to land, or is there something else in the works?
There is something else in the works, and I believe that he's attempting to start a new media company. He's done this before, and, you know, one of his darkest times in the woods before this happened, and he's not really in a dark time right now, obviously. He looks very happy when you see him. Was when he was let go from MSNBC, and he didn't know what he was going to do, and he started the Daily Caller with his college roommate Neil Patel. So reports have it now that he and Patel are starting to raise some capital for another media venture. I think Twitter right now is legally safe for him to be at because it's not. I haven't seen his contract, but from what I understand, Twitter is not included in his non-compete. He's currently not being paid by Twitter or Elon Musk. So, you know, legally, he could probably argue he's still a Fox employee, we should say. He's still under contract. So he could argue, I'm going on Twitter and I'm expressing my opinions on the political issues of the day, like any other Fox employee is allowed to do. I'm not making any money. So that's where he's landed right now. They've said that they're happy to stay on Twitter for a while and feel things out, but they're not committed to being there, and they're not under contract with Musk or anything like that.
All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Chadwick, congratulations. We're going to get you back on book launch day. I know that you've got to be looking forward to that. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, for sure, Todd. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right. Chadwick Moore, everybody, the author of the book on Tucker Carlson. You can get yourself a copy wherever you buy your books. Chadwick, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We've got to take a quick break here. I'm curious, have you gone back to Fox? Are you going to give Jesse Waters a shot? Or have you decided, you know what, that's it. I'm a Newsmax guy. One America News. You've gone someplace else to get your fix of conservative commentary and thought. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. So Glenn Beck asked Tucker about what was happening with the staff that was left behind at Fox, and we're going to get to that. We'll get to that comment at the bottom of the hour. But it really is sad what's happening at Fox News. I'm curious if you're going to be watching the all-new lineup tonight. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to this audio from Charles Barkley. It took poor Dylan 45 minutes to, like, just bleep out all of the language here. It's just unbelievable. But Barkley has a problem with all of you people who are boycotting Bud Light. Charles Barkley is pro-transgender, and he says that he's going to be drinking Bud Light, and he has some thoughts about the rest of you. Cut 20.
Y'all, and I'm about Bud Light. Hey, and let me tell you something. All you rednecks or who don't want to drink Bud Light, y'all. Hey, y'all can't cancel me. Hey, I ain't worried about getting canceled. Because let me tell you something, if y'all fire me and give me all that money, I'm going to be playing golf every day. So listen. As I said last night, if you're gay, God bless you. If you're trans, God bless you. And if you have a problem with them, f*** you.
Oh, my. All right, there's Charles Barkley. I wonder if he's visited the West Wing of the White House anytime soon. I'm just, his DNA on anything powdery over there? Just curious. No, I'm not making any accusations. I'm just asking a question, that's all. All right. By the way, I want to go back to the big event over the weekend with President Trump. And the president was making a very important point about mobilizing early voters and harvesting ballots. Cut number 13.
His newest project for mobilizing early voters will be a difference maker in the next election, and it's going to make them. It's going to make it a much more difficult job to cheat because we're going to swamp them. You know, when you start swamping them.
Yeah, we got to do it. We've got to start playing the same game the Democrats are playing. And if we don't, we are going to lose. We are going to lose in 2024. So we've got to get out there. We've got to start harvesting the ballots, and we've got to take advantage. You may not like it. You may think it's a lousy way to do elections. But you know what? The Democrats set the ground rules here. And if we don't start playing by the same rules the Democrats are playing by, we will continue to lose. I mean, it really is that simple. And again, look at what's happening right now. Republicans are out there, they're on the campaign trail, they're shaking hands, they're asking for people's votes. You've got Joe Biden out there. No, he's not out there. He's not out there raising money, he's not out there campaigning. No Democrats are. And why is that? Well, they think they have this in the bag. That's why they're not out there campaigning. By the way, in Finland, we've got the video. Have you seen the video of Joe Biden? And he was snorting the back of a baby. And then he wanted to give the baby a full-on face, like frontal kiss. And the baby was like, hell no. Get away from me, you big perv. What's wrong with you? That's what the baby was saying in Finnish. I think I couldn't interpret that, but yeah, that's what the baby was thinking. I mean, what the heck is going on with Joe Biden and the children? All right, we got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. I was taking my Balance of Nature this morning. Love that. Have you guys switched over yet? It's the best decision I've made in my life when it comes to making sure I get all of the nutrition I need. And I've really fallen in love with Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Look, the best part is I don't have to go grocery shopping, throw out all the produce, you know, after a couple of days. I mean, how many times have you done that before, right? I think I had a cucumber in my refrigerator that was there. It's been there for about a year. I don't know. It's a long time. So anyway, I take Balance of Nature now. And the best part about Balance of Nature, you get 31 whole fruits and veggies every day at a fraction of the cost of getting them at the grocery store. And I can tell you that since I've been taking Balance of Nature, I have noticed a massive boost in energy. And I have to have that being on the road and doing the speeches and coming and doing the show and all that whatnot. So I want to encourage you to check out Balance of Nature. You can go to their website, balanceofnature.com. You can also give them a call, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com. Shipping is always free, and you got to use my discount code, Todd. Get this, Balance of Nature, they're going to give you a 35% discount off of your first order. I think that's tremendous. All right, I want to go back. Dylan, do we have this audio? Tucker Carlson was asked by Glenn Beck Friday about the report that Chadwick Moore just talked about his staff being frog marched out of the building. Tucker was shocked when he heard the news.
Did you hear the news today about you?
Probably not.
Tucker Carlson's remaining team at Fox News, 9 employees, are going to be frog marched out of the building at 9 p.m. tonight. HR will be waiting outside of the control room when they finish tonight's show to escort the remaining producers outside. One producer called it degrading.
That is, and this is certainly not a defense of the company that's doing that, but this is kind of par in corporate America. I think it's disgusting. And I would say two things. One, you should always be loyal to people who are loyal to you. Loyalty is reciprocal. If people give up a lot on your behalf, you should do the same for them. And I've never seen a company, a publicly traded company, do that for anybody in the United States. And it's disgusting. Okay? I think it's a huge sin that they all commit. The second thing I would say is that I'm 54, so I joined the workforce when there were no HR departments. It was called personnel, and it had a minor role in the life of the company. And the job was to, like, sign you up for your dumb health care benefits or take out FICA or something like that. HR evolved on the promise that it would meet the needs of humans, human resources. It has made companies far more soulless, far crueler to people.
Big time.
Far more at the mercy of lawyers and the grotesque anti-human legal mindset that's really hurt our country, that's stripped the humanity from people and turned them into widgets. HR is an instrument of cruelty and force and coercion. And I think anyone who's working in HR should examine his own conscience and ask, can I continue to do this? I really think it's a bad force in America. And nobody says that, but it's true. I've seen it. And
I've seen it.
Yes, it's horrible.
We all have seen it. You've seen it when you see it yourself, when you're marched into an office and you see the HR people and then you see, you know, the attorneys behind, and you're like, this is really not necessary.
Oh,
why can't we just?
I had one conversation with HR my entire life, and I said, I'm not talking to you at all, because this person came into my office and said, you're not allowed to talk to another employee about something. This person had complained about me. So I saw the person. I'd never met the person. And filed a complaint saying, you know, that I hurt his feelings or made him feel unsafe because of my opinion. So I run into him, and I said, hey, here's my cell. Call me, text me. Like, if you got a problem, call me. Because it is a moral requirement that we take our complaints to one another directly as
Correct.
Human beings, not through mediating structures. That's like actually a biblical command, as you know. So anyway, but it's also a human command and a human requirement. So I do this, and the HR lady comes in, and she's like, you're not allowed to do that. And I said, I'm an adult man and a father and a taxpayer. You are not allowed to tell me who I can speak to. And then I use bad language. Because I mean it. You can't tell me who I can talk to. Well, you're my mom now? What are you, God?
Right.
You're telling me who I can talk to? Get out of my office. And I said that. I'm sorry I was rude, but I felt that was such an intrusion. I mean, I couldn't even believe someone would say something like that. Telling you who you can talk to? Who do you think you're talking to? Like I'm nine or something? And that was the last conversation I will ever have with HR. And if there's nothing else I achieve in my life, that I am proud of. I will never speak to an HR department again.
Good for you, Tucker Carlson. I experienced the same thing at Fox. They hired, after Roger Ailes left, they hired the HR team from NBC News. And they came over and completely just destroyed it. It's the wokest HR department I've ever been surrounded by. And all of a sudden, we had to start going to these workshops on discrimination and sexual harassment. And I just refused to do it. And my argument was, hey, it's not in my contract to have to sit down there and be lectured to. And if you know, I'm not going to do it. I am absolutely not going to do it. And I never did. And they never bothered me. But I went to one when I had first started, and I thought, man, this is nuts. But I'm telling you, that's the way to do it, and good for you, Tucker. And, you know, he raises an interesting point. There was a time when we had personnel departments, and aside from getting you a security badge and filling out your health insurance, that was all you saw of those people. But now it's almost as if the HR departments in a lot of these corporations are just as bad as what they're teaching the kids in school. It's really a radical indoctrination center. And people are literally now terrified in a lot of these corporations, and I'm going well beyond Fox here, but people are just really terrified. You know, they don't want to say something. They don't want to look at somebody because they'll be accused of being transphobic or homophobic or whatever kind of a phobic. And people don't want that. And so you get misery in the workplace, which is why a lot of people did not want to go back to the workplace after the China virus pandemic. I'm just telling you. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. May I just ask an inappropriate question here? Did the cocaine belong to Kamala Harris? Is it possible the vice president is the one doing coke? And I ask this because she was speaking at a church over the weekend. The Reverend Jesse Jackson was retiring, and she was invited to speak. And her behavior in the pulpit really causes me to wonder. Cut 17.
So we congratulate you, Rev, on your pivot. I got the memo.
That sounds like a cocaine laugh to me, right? That's not a normal laugh. Oh, here we are. This is another clip. Cut number one.
I said to the congressman, I didn't know he could preach like that.
So you're going to get up in front of a congregation and actually tell people you didn't realize Reverend Jesse Jackson could actually preach. Cut number one again.
I said to the congressman, I didn't know he could preach like that.
Oh, no. That's what Jesse Jackson would have said. But he didn't. He used to rhyme. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he used to rhyme back in the day. Even words that didn't even rhyme, he still made them rhyme. We don't know how that happened. I guess it was a gift. My favorite line from the celebration, cut number seven.
And early on, just think about it. Early on, he even had the audacity to name this coalition the National Rainbow Coalition. Think about that. He defined the rainbow. He was one of the first to define the rainbow.
I don't think the rainbow means what she thinks it means in that organization. So the Rainbow Coalition was started by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. And many years ago, before the LGBT movement took over the trademark on the rainbow. So now it belongs to the gays. But back in the day, Reverend Jesse Jackson actually adapted the rainbow and named his organization the Rainbow Coalition. I don't think it means what the vice president think it means. I really don't. But all that to say, She sounds like she's high on something, right? Or is it just me? I don't. Something's just not right there. I mean, a grown woman cackling like that and going off on Venn diagrams. I don't know. Something's just not right.
Right?
I'm just saying. We'll be right back, America. Well, there was big trouble on a flight to Memphis, Tennessee the other day when a cat got loose on the airplane. This was apparently an emotional support cat. And before I get to that, I want to play. We've got a little audio here of the guy, the owner of the cat, running down the aisle, trying to get little Fluffy back under control. Cut five, please. All right, I love how they're giving, like, the person, you know, suggestions on how to commandeer the cat. Honestly, I'm surprised nobody had, like, a gun on the flight. I mean, it was bound for Memphis, so they could have just taken the cat out. But I don't think it was, like, misbehaving. The cat just wanted to get out. And so there you go. A couple of questions here. Really? Cats are really emotional support animals? Because I can't think of a more selfish animal on the planet than a cat. Right? For the cat, it's always about the cat. Even when they're cuddling up to you, they're wanting something. Whether it's, I don't know, more meow mix or something. But the cat is always wanting something. So I'm very surprised if cats are, you know, emotional support animals. But there's a story out of New York City, American Airlines. And, you know, I do a lot of traveling. And folks, I've seen a lot of stuff on the airlines. I certainly have. And one of the things that really impresses me is that so many people arrive at the airport dressed like they're going to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're wearing pajamas. Some of them are not even wearing shoes. The feet are blackened because they're walking. It's just disgusting. I actually saw a grown man cutting his toenails in first class. No class, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm not sure what's going on with America. And it used to be there was a time in America, and Dylan and Colin, I know you're going to be shocked to hear this, but there was a time in America, in American aviation history, where you would show up at the airport and you would be wearing, men would wear a suit, and the ladies would wear a dress and a lovely hat, and the children were all well-behaved, and everybody would get on board, and it was sort of a rare treat to take an airline flight somewhere. But now it's sort of like they just put wings on a Greyhound bus station, and it looks like a homeless encampment in the air. So anyway, nowadays, everybody's flying with these emotional support animals. And it's not just cats, but there have been multiple reports of people arriving at the airport with emotional support horses. Yes, like miniature horses. And they have to let these people on board the airplanes. According to Newsweek, A passenger showed up at the airport with a Greyhound dog, and the Greyhound weighed 140 pounds, and it was an emotional support dog. The dog took up two seats. Can you imagine, though? Let's just say that the guy with the dog is sitting at the window section, and you're sitting on the aisle seat, and you're having to stare at the business end of the Greyhound for 2 hours. I mean, really? I just don't understand this. So anyway, the owner posted a little message saying, you know, who says Great Danes aren't airplane dogs? Well, I'm raising my hand on that one. Shout out to American Airlines for making our move to Brooklyn a piece of cake. According to the report, the Greyhound stood as tall as 32 inches at the shoulder. They're giant dogs. I mean, they're just massive dogs. Anyway, the guy, this is a terrible story, but the guy had, he has a Crohn's disease. And that's an inflammation and irritation of the digestive tract, which is terrible. He had to have his entire large intestine removed, as well as his small intestine and his rectum. Oh, my. Anyway, the guy says that the dog actually helps with the belly pain. How does that work? I'm not sure I want to know. He says heat and mild pressure can help alleviate a lot of pain, and so he trained the dog to put her head and parts of her body on his body so that alleviates the pain. It seems to me, I mean, if that's the issue, that heat and mild pressure, then just get a heating pad, right? I mean, you can plug it in there. You got the little thing at the seat, and you don't have to worry about having a 142-pound dog sitting in the aisle. I'm just saying. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. There was also a point, gentlemen, in American aviation history when people would get on board airplanes and they didn't have emotional support animals. There was like an entire generation where it was unheard of. And if you wanted little Fluffy to go from Memphis to Orlando, little Fluffy was down in the undercarriage with all the luggage. There was a time not so long ago that if flying made you nervous, you didn't bring a bat or an alligator or a snake on board the plane. The flight attendant would come over and would give you, I don't know, a glass of wine or a whiskey sour or a ho-ho. Something to calm you down, just to get you through the flight. I had a family member once. I will say she is an aunt. And she just cannot stand flying. Makes her incredibly nervous. And she was going to New York City. And so anyway, I flew them up here. They were flying first class. And the flight attendant said, "Well, what's wrong, ma'am?" And she said, "Well, I'm very nervous. I'm very uncomfortable flying." And of course, they're old school, so they didn't have an emotional support animal with them, right? They just showed up and they sucked it up as human beings. And so the flight attendant says, I have just the thing for you, and comes back and brings my lovely aunt a glass of wine. And of course, being in first class, my aunt did not realize that the glass never goes empty. So all that to say, she had a pretty darn good time on that flight. And apparently so did everybody else in first class. So there you go. But again, what's up with the emotional support animals? Can we not just cope, America? What happened? We used to be a nation that could cope. We just suck it up. You know, when I was a kid and I got hurt or cut on the playground, and by the way, we didn't have any of these nice, exotic, state-of-the-art, cushy little, playground equipment. We had old, rusty merry-go-rounds, and when you would get a cut, you would run home and your mom would tell you to go put dirt on it and then scoot you right back outside. I mean, that's just the way our generation lived. And I'm not sure what happened, but man, have we raised a generation of wusses? Is that what's happened? Jeez, hello. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our phone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Wow. Have you heard about this strike in Hollywood? Well, no, I didn't either until somebody told me about it. I mean, apparently Hollywood actors are on strike. So are the writers, and the good news for America is the Hollywood is now at a standstill, and no, there are no TV movies being produced, no TV shows, nothing, nada, it's done. And folks are walking the picket line, and these Hollywood actors, they're very upset. You know, they're wanting a lot more money, and they're very upset that the producers and the network executives are making all this money. And I'm telling you, it is getting ugly out there. As a matter of fact, Ron Perlman, who's the actor, he played Hellboy, I believe, is the movie that he is most recently known for. Ron Perlman posting a message on Instagram, and he is very very unhappy with all you people and talking about all you executives out there. And he's threatening to burn down your homes. And I know I'm not kidding. It's, I mean, these people are very, very, there's something wrong with them. And I don't want to say this about everybody in Hollywood, but these are people that get paid to play make-believe for a living. And, you know, some of them are very normal individuals, but then there are a lot of them, and they're just nut jobs. I mean, these people are lunatics. And I would just remind you that it was an actor who assassinated Abraham Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth was an actor of stage. They had no screen back then. So he was an actor of stage. Very well-known actor. And he's the guy responsible for assassinating Abraham Lincoln. So I'm just telling you, you got to watch out for these Hollywood types. I mean, they're unstable. And maybe that's what makes some of them celebrities. I don't know. But anyway, there you go. They're wanting more money, and they're threatening to burn down the homes of their bosses if they don't get it. Good luck to all of you out there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. I want to go to North Carolina. Greg wants to weigh in on cocaine. Greg, what's going on?
Yeah, I was wondering if you had heard the suggestion that the cocaine was planted by the Democratic Party to, you know, so everyone would automatically jump to the conclusion that it was Hunter Biden's cocaine, and then, you know, bring more embarrassment to the Biden family and kind of force Joe out.
Oh, so you think this may have been a setup, a good old-fashioned setup?
I mean, I heard that last week, but I haven't heard it since. And that seems like a good, the way I hear it, Biden's not going to be back. So maybe try to force him out now.
Yeah, no, we've heard that as well, Greg. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when the story first broke. And I posited that as one possibility, that it was not Hunter's, but that it was planted because everybody would assume it was Hunter's. So the question now becomes, will Joe Biden get the message? And, Greg, I don't think he's getting the message. I really don't.
He'd had to be hitting the head with a 2x4 to get it. So.
Well, yes. There you go. We certainly don't advocate that. We are a nonviolent talk radio program. But Greg, I get the point. Greg, appreciate that call. Yeah, look, the Democrats are getting very nervous because they know that Biden can't run again. It's impossible. Now, the First Lady, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden, I'm telling you, she is the power center of the Biden crime syndicate. And she's going to try to keep him in the White House for as long as humanly possible. But as we heard from a previous caller, perhaps, just perhaps, this is a situation where Biden won't even make it out of his first term in office. I mean, that could be. Meanwhile, you have others out there suggesting that a third party presidential ticket might be forming with John Huntsman, who was one of Trump's ambassadors, John Huntsman and Joe Manchin out of West Virginia. Let's go to the phones here. Is this Brian in Tennessee, WTJS, our great affiliate there? What's on your mind?
Yes, sir, Todd. I just wanted to see if you could refresh my memory. Was former President Obama on record as indulging in the nose candy back in his day?
This is a terrific question. I do know that he was and the answer to your question is yes. As a matter of fact, his cocaine usage was revealed in a biography. And this was a big issue back in, I believe, during his either first or second presidential run, that he admitted that he had used cocaine.
Yeah, and back in college when he went by Barry Satoro he was part of the Shroom Gang.
The Shroom Gang. You know your Obama drug history quite well, Brian.
Maybe, you know, check the logs if Barry Satoru is on the logs or Barack Hussein Obama is on the logs or, you know, but he probably don't have to check in because he's living in the basement, you know, running the show. But I'm enjoying the show, Todd. I'm trusting the plan out here. And Trump's going to make America great again.
I have no doubt about that, Brian, and we appreciate you listening. You know, the challenge there is if Barry Satoru, if he did go as Barry Satoru, typically they use the initials BS, and maybe there's so much BS in the White House that the Secret Service could not find out whose cocaine that was. That's a lot of BS. So, Brian, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. That's right. Obama did, in fact, admit to using cocaine. He used blow. And then, of course, his drug of choice, though, I think on a regular basis, was actually the devil's lettuce. So he was, in fact, a member of a group called the Shroom Gang. So maybe it was Obama's. Who knows? All right. The thing is, there's just a lot of nasty people associated with that White House. I think that's the bottom line here. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So I want to play some audio. This is from a former member of the Trump administration, Alyssa Farah Griffin, who is now one of the squawking magpies on The View. And she is fantasizing about a uniparty. Cut number 16.
Well, what do y'all think?
So in theory, I love it, but in practice, I hate it. So historically, vice presidents were selected by running against the president that wins, and then they would serve and form a unity government together. And in theory, I like the idea of a Republican and a Democrat coming together for everyone. But the problem is the two-party system is so deeply entrenched that just this no-labels third-party group getting in is only going to serve as a spoiler to one side. Mm-hmm. I tend to think that it ends up being a spoiler against Biden in favor of Trump. And I say that because a lot of my girlfriends are the key demographic that Joe Biden picked up in 2020. College-educated women who maybe reluctantly voted for Trump in 2016 but couldn't stomach him in 2020. Those are the people this risks pulling off to go to this middle ticket. Now, I could tomorrow vote for Joe Manchin, John Huntsman. I think the world of John Huntsman. But what I worry is that in the effort towards centrism, it's actually going to boost extremism. What I would offer that they could do is instead run a moderate centrist candidate on the Democratic side and a moderate centrist Republican, someone like a Will Hurd or something like that on the Republican side. That would do more to bring the two sides together.
All right. Yeah, that's not going to work, darling. I will say this. If a third party does run, I think it hurts the Democrats. If you've got Joe Manchin and John Huntsman, I think that hurts the Democrats, and it helps Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, Obama came out of the closet today, the literary closet. Obama releasing a lengthy statement talking about how his life was made whole by reading gay authors. And no, I am not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. The story is up at toddstearns.com. Caleb Park sharing this story with us. Former President Barack Obama today released a lengthy statement about how his life was shaped by books written by gay and transgender authors. Mm-hmm. The Democrat president made the admission in a letter to librarians on Monday morning. That's today. Quote, some of the books that shaped my life and the lives of so many others are being challenged by people who disagree with certain ideas or perspectives. Obama said it's no coincidence these banned books are often written by or feature people of color, indigenous people, and members of the LGBTQ plus community. Oh, so Obama is talking about these books that you Moms for Liberty have been pushing to get out of the classroom. Dinesh D'Souza writes to President Obama directly, sir, your life was shaped by books about how to blink another man's private parts and how to insert various household objects into your hindquarters. Do elaborate. Well, this is really fascinating. I mean, it's a fair question. Exactly. How has your life been enriched by reading these very provocative and sexually explicit books about the LGBT community? Mr. President, I'm just curious here. I think we all are. So there. Wow. I know I'm not making any suggestions or innuendo, Dylan. I'm just saying that Obama says that he has been inspired by gay literature. And I'm just curious how and in what ways, how many ways has Obama been inspired by gay literature? Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. No, I don't know what's on Michelle Obama's reading list. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. That's our number. Victor in Maryland wants to talk about Hollywood. Hey, Victor, what you got for us?
Okay, well, their initials stand for, as far as I'm concerned, Satan against God.
SAG. SAG. Oh, I got a SAG. Screen
yes,
Actors
Satan
Guild.
Satan against God.
My apologies.
And also, hey, we can fill in the blanks now by producing our own movies. We don't need Hollywood, and they can go on strike, as far as I'm concerned, for the rest of my life.
You know, it's interesting. The movie that came out a couple of weeks ago, Sound of Freedom, continues to just, I mean, it's just crushing the competition at the box office. And Hollywood did not want that movie produced. You know, Disney actually shelved the project. They had no intention of having that movie come out. So yeah, there's something to that. I SAG. What was the it was Satan?
Satan against God.
Satan against God. I love it, Victor. That's great. All right. Appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. SAG. SAG. Well done. All right. Back to the Dylan, to answer your question, I believe Michelle Obama does, in fact, wear the pants in that relationship. So, for what it's worth, I'm just saying. All right, cut number 18. This is John Kirby, the spokes dude over at the White House.
Certainly, you can understand that Americans, many of them, first of all, are aghast that there was ever cocaine in the White House. We heard that there were reports of marijuana a couple times found there last year as well. But more importantly, that it's case closed. In less than 2 weeks, we know nothing about who brought this in, inability to track people, no surveillance cameras. What if it was something much more dangerous?
Well, again, I can't really speak to the investigation that was done by the Secret Service. They did the best they could to track down how it got there and who it might have belonged to, and they just were not able to come up with any forensic evidence that proves it. But of course, look, we take this seriously. That's not the kind of thing we want to see happen. Now, it did happen in a visitor's lobby area just outside the main West Wing. So it was highly trafficked area. We're going to take a look at how that happened. And obviously, if there's things we can do to prevent that in the future, certainly we'll do that. Nobody's happy about this.
Mm-hmm. A crime was committed on the grounds of the White House, and no one seems terribly concerned about that. But there you go. Lots of crimes have been committed, though, by this administration. And I'm not sure we're ever going to get to the bottom of any of it, but we shall see. All right. I want to go back, and we're going to try to play as much of this as we can. But I want to go back to this Tucker Carlson story, this dust-up between him and Mike Pence that happened Friday in Iowa. Cut 11, please.
You recently met with Zelensky, according to news reports. And I'm wondering if during that meeting, as a prominent Christian leader, which you are in addition to your political views, you broached the question of his treatment of Christians within Ukraine. The Zelensky government has raided convents, arrested priests, has effectively banned a denomination, a Christian denomination, the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, within Ukraine, has persecuted Christians. And I wonder if you raised that with him.
I did raise the issue when we were there. And I raised it with the leader of the Orthodox Church when I was visiting Kyiv and asked him about concerns about religious liberty. He assured me that the Zelensky government in Ukraine was respecting religious liberty, even while recognizing that there were very small elements of the Russian Orthodox Church that were being utilized for the purpose of advancing the Russian cause in Ukraine, and that they were taking steps to hold them to account. But the leader of the church at St. Michael's in Kyiv told me personally that he believed that the Zelensky government was respecting religious liberty. And I must tell you, other than the sanctity of life, there's no higher priority in my life than preserving the freedom of religion in America and championing religious liberty around the world.
I'm confused. On this question, it's very clear that the Zelensky government has arrested priests for having views they disagree with. That's not consistent with religious liberty. It's an attack on it. And we're funding it. And I'm just wondering how is it, and I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, but I sincerely wonder how a Christian leader could support the arrests of Christians for having different views.
Well, what I can tell you is I asked the Christian leader in Kyiv if that was in fact happening, and he assured me that it was not. People were not being persecuted for their religious beliefs. Now,
let me jump in here. That's simply not true. It is factually inaccurate for Mike Pence to make that statement. We know verifiably that Christians have been arrested and that churches were shut down during the Ukraine war. We know that to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. But it goes back to Mike Pence when he was governor of Indiana, and he backtracked on the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And he did so under the pressure coming from the gay rights groups. Mike Pence turned his back on Christians in America. So it should not be that big of a stretch to imagine that Mike Pence would turn his back on Christians in Ukraine. Again, he's got a really bad track record. And what makes it worse is that Bill Clinton, who actually signed the first Religious Freedom Restoration Act, is more protective of religious liberty than Mike Pence is. We'll be right back, America. President Trump wants you to get a copy of the new best-selling book, The Final Battle, by David Horowitz. President Trump says America faces a final battle in the coming 2024 election, and this book is the best expose on the far left's attempts to end democracy. David Horowitz's warning of the deep state efforts to stop Trump in his book, and he does name names. Now, President Trump says you got to get the final battle before the next election because it may be the last. Mike Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to prepare by getting David's book. The Final Battle is available at bookstores everywhere. It's already an Amazon bestseller. You can check out the free offer from Newsmax. Yes, I said free offer. You're going to be able to save almost $30. Just go to the website, finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com. And get your copy today. All right, want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend and great American patriot and columnist, Cheryl Chumley, joins us. Hi, Cheryl. How are you today?
I am doing great. It's so great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, likewise, I love the headline of your latest column, Dear God, Please Don't Let Kamala Harris Become President. Pretty straightforward.
Seriously. I mean, Joe Biden is bad enough, but, you know, the plus with Joe Biden is he's low energy. Kamala Harris is younger. She's more energetic. Think of the damage she could do.
You know, I was watching I don't know if you caught any of the Jesse Jackson church service, and she was talking about the rainbow. And, Dylan, do we have that audio? This is Kamala Harris talking about Reverend Jackson. Defining the rainbow, cut number 7, I believe.
And early on, just think about it. Early on, he even had the audacity to name this coalition the National Rainbow Coalition. Think about that. He defined the rainbow. He was one of the first.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the rainbow that Jesse's thinking about.
So he defined it, right? He's one of the first. I kind of thought God was the first who defined what the rainbow meant and gave us the rainbow. It's bad enough it's been corrupted by the LGBTQ community, but for her to make such a ridiculous statement, I don't know. There's too many to pick from about her worst, right? If we had to make a list, that would definitely be in a top 10.
So we understand with Joe Biden. We get it. He's old, and that happens. But she's not, and this is, I mean, it's weird, right? I mean, she sounds ignorant all the time.
She sounds like she's teaching a bunch of second graders. I mean, the thing that she said with the AI, and then she told us what AI stood for, and then she had to check her notes when she was defining what machine learning was, which, you know, the definition is in the phrase itself. She always sounds like she's teaching second graders, but I think that's because that's the path her mind is on. That is exactly what she's thinking in her mind, because she doesn't know the material that she's trying to present herself as an expert on. And I think Kamala Harris, if she ever were at the point where she was allowed to be president, if something happened to Joe Biden, I think it would be even more of a disaster for America than Biden is.
And really, for the balance of time, Cheryl, the balance of time, can we continue to talk about Kamala Harris and the balance of time? I mean, it's those kinds of phrases, you know, where she just repeats it over and over and over again as if that somehow makes it more important. It's just bizarre.
But isn't that what Democrats do, right? They repeat things enough, hoping that you'll believe them. You know, Kamala Harris, in her word salad, sometimes if you don't hear her actually speak, if you're just reading it in print, you have to go and find the video because you're not sure if it's a misprint of the reporter or not. But it never is. And look, you and I are laughing right now, but again, this always cycles back to national security. Joe Biden is a national security risk because world leaders with hostile intents of America see his weakness. Kamala Harris just furthers that same image.
It's shocking, and you do have to wonder. I think the Democrats in leadership, they get it, and they understand there's no way that she can ever step foot in that Oval Office. But the other problem they're dealing with now is Joe Biden is clearly not capable to lead the country. So, you know, what do you do? I mean, we've heard, you know, rumblings that maybe Kamala is going to get replaced. Do you really think they would go to that extreme to get somebody in there just in case Joe can't finish the race?
I do, because I think Democrats all along, even though they had other candidates who could have run against Trump, they actually chose and supported Joe Biden knowing that he had to do his campaigning in the basement, not just because of the coronavirus at the time, but because he was too weak to stand up on his own. And Democrats like that weakness. You and I and your listeners just can't understand it, because it seems to us that how can you have a president who is not strong enough to be presidential? But this is the design of Democrats, right? To crumble America, and to do that, it's great for them to have a puppet that they can continually manipulate in the White House.
Well, and again, to that point, we are not seeing Joe Biden out there on the campaign trail. We're not seeing the big ad pushes, the campaign volunteers. It's as if they don't even have an apparatus. And I'm wondering, you know, are the Democrats okay with that? And do you think that Biden is going to be the guy in 2024?
You know, I know there are some Democrats out there who don't want them, and Democrat voters in various polls have shown that they don't want Joe Biden either. But this works for Democrats. Look at Barack Obama when he was campaigning. Nobody knew him, but they threw out a phrase like hope and change, and he just was able to just capture the youth and capture the Democrat Party. Joe Biden certainly is not as charismatic as Barack Obama was considered, but he's still somebody that Democrats will use just as a known face. And I don't think they care so much who is the Democrat Party candidate for the White House, because they have other designs in place to push their candidate forward.
Cheryl Chumley is the opinion editor for the Washington Times and host of the Bold and Blunt podcast. Her article, Dear God, Please Don't Let Kamala Harris Become President. I mean, if Biden gets reelected and she's on the ticket, she is going to be the president. I mean, there's no way he can finish a second term.
Oh, I agree with you completely on that. So it's not over yet, right? We may not just have another year and a half. We could have longer. Oh, please, God, no, right?
Right, right. Cheryl, though, on the other side of the aisle, though, there's just a lot of concern about Ron DeSantis, and everybody thought that he was going to wait and run in 2028. Part of me is glad that he's running now just to see how awful of a candidate he is out there on the campaign trail. Are you surprised by how poorly DeSantis is doing out there?
Not completely. You know, DeSantis is a different beast from Trump. He's not as personable. He's a little bit more wonky. I just think that I'm not in favor of people who are already serving a position in public service. I'm not in favor of them abandoning those public service seats to go do something greater and bigger. I wish personally that Ron DeSantis would stay as governor and bide his time until Trump is completely out of the picture, because Trump definitely has the support of conservative voters in America right now.
All right. And based on, I'm just curious to get your take over the weekend. Trump at the big TPUSA, 87% of the straw poll vote there. DeSantis coming in third place.
Yeah. Is there a stronger message, really? Even strip away half of Donald Trump's support, and he still is the candidate of choice for most Republicans going forward. I know there's a lot of people who oppose him right now, but I still think, by and large, he's the candidate to beat.
All right. Well, Cheryl, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff as always. And folks, you can read Cheryl's great work over at the Washington Times, and be sure to download her podcast, The Bold and Blunt Podcast. Cheryl, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Good stuff. Well, there you go, folks. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Bill is listening to us in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our flagship station there. Hi, Bill. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me on again today. I was listening to Carol Chumley. I really like her. Everything she was saying was spot on. But there's another aspect to Obama's campaign. You know, he was only drawing 400 or 500 people to his rallies, which is a pretty good number, before he got Oprah Winfrey involved. The first celebrity campaign he had with her, they drew thousands. Not a Trump rally by any stretch, but thousands of people. And she really kick-started his campaign. And that's just, they didn't come to see him. They came to see her, and they voted for him because of her, in my opinion. A lot of his votes were gotten because Oprah got involved.
Well, I was a reporter at Fox back in those days, and I was assigned to cover the Obama campaign. So I traveled with Obama for months during that campaign cycle. And, you know, folks may not realize how Obama almost lost that election bid to Hillary Clinton. It got pretty nasty. As a matter of fact, what did Hillary in? And this is why there's bad blood between the Clintons and the Obamas, is that Obama and his team portrayed Bill Clinton as a racist in that pivotal South Carolina primary. And it worked. It worked for Obama, and the Clintons were enraged over that. It was an ugly, ugly battle there. It wasn't, again, right out of the gate, Obama, to your point, was not as popular as he said he is. So how does this all apply to what's happening today, Bill?
You know, that's a good question, Todd. There's just so many moving parts to this campaign. And, I just saw today that Joe Manchin's thinking about getting into the race as possibly an independent or a third party.
Yeah, third party.
And that's going to really hurt the Democrats. And, Trump's going to win, I believe, anyway, but I think that's just going to solidify it, in my opinion. You're right about Obama. He played the race card, and he can sit and say that black people in America can't make it when he was the first black president.
It's a fair point. So anyway, it's ugly. And the Democrats will play that race card, and And it's just a reminder, if they can do it to Bill and Hillary, they're going to do it to anybody. So, all right, Bill, appreciate that call. We had a little hiccup there with the phone. Again, the story coming out, Barack Obama now defending a lot of these controversial books that are getting pulled from public school libraries. And they're based, I mean, they're just pornographic. The books like This Book is Gay, Flamer, Gender Queer, which is actually a graphic novel that shows men doing very inappropriate things to other men. And Barack Obama says, these children, the children of America, deserve access to these books. So, ladies and gentlemen, former President Barack Hussein Obama says your kids need to have access to pornography in their public school classrooms. What say you to that? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, look, if Barack Obama says he gets inspired by reading books like Gender Queer, who am I to argue with that? You do you, Mr. President. You do you. All right, let's go to the phone lines, the great state of Louisiana. Glenn, and thank you for listening to us on KROF, a great radio station. Hi, Glenn, what's going on?
Yes, sir, Todd. I was going over the reports of how people are getting worked up with Donald Trump, and I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but now don't make a mistake. I'm still for him. I'm still there.
All right.
Wait a second. If they go to the polls and they vote, and
Well, let's get to it here, Glenn. We're about to run out of time here. So, what's your point you're trying to make?
Okay, don't get overly optimistic. Even if you vote, the Democrats can cut you off at the pass. That's the thing, that you can vote and you can think everything's going fine, and they can cut you off at the last second. They can, they can get technicians into the machines, and they can undo the votes. They can undo everything that you did. That's tough.
Well, Glenn, first of all, I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for that. The issue here is ballot harvesting. So the earlier you can vote, the better. Keep track of your vote. Make sure that your vote gets counted. We cannot allow them to finagle with any more elections. And again, I go back to this point that there are more of us than there are of them. And you can't tell me that Joe Biden legitimately got 80 million votes. You can't do it. It's impossible. Just impossible. So we'll see how this all plays out. But folks, that we've got to get out of the first thing we have to do is go and vote. And if you can't do that, well, there's no hope. And I know there are a lot of people out there that are like, well, what's the point? No, the point is you've got to go and vote. Otherwise, we're going to be controlled by Democrats for the rest of our natural lives. And I don't want that. And I don't think your kids want. I don't think you want it for your kids. I mean, we're dealing with people now that are, and by the way, when Trump is saying that this election is the most important election in our lifetime, understand what Trump is looking at here. He is looking at a public education system that has been radicalized. Generations now of young American kids that have been taught as early as preschool to hate America. Generations of American kids that are being confused about sex and gender in the classrooms. Generations of Americans that are being taught that socialism is better than capitalism. These are the things that Trump is looking at. And that's why he says this is the election that matters. And if we are going to truly stop this radical agenda, that's how it's going to happen. So that's why we've got to get out the vote. We've got to use the same tactics that the Democrats use. And if we can do that, I think we have a fighting chance here. I really do.